Welcome.
Morning, welcome back. So we're at the parsha of the shop. We're going to do something that we don't normally do. Just start from the first pasuk in the parsha. Mm-hmm. Usually we move around and roll over. Let's start right at the beginning. It's page 366 in the article. Right at the beginning. Okay. Here we go. So B'nai Yisrael, as we recall from Shabbos, they've left Egypt. They're on their way into the Midbar. And that's basically where our story begins. Vayhi b'shalach paro esa'am. And it happened when Paro sent out the people. V'lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim. God did not lead them towards the land of the plishtim. Ki karovu. Because it was close. Because Hashem said, "Peni lachem ha'am b'rosam milchama b'shavu mitzrayim ba," lest they regret or they reconsider when they're facing with war and they're going to want to return to Mitzrayim. So right away, the ki karovu certainly stands out. And the fact that it was close should have been a reason to just let's just get them there. What are we stalling for? Ki usually means because, but we're going to have to, here it sounds more like although. Right? Although it was close, he did not send them that way. Why? Because, right, there are two keys. There's ki karovu and then ki amar elokim. So the second key can certainly be a because it was close. But the first key, we have to figure out exactly what that word means. And why exactly didn't Hashem take them straight into Eretz Yisrael? So maybe they'll see a war, but they also can see the greatness of Hashem. Hashem helped them out of Mitzrayim. Let Hashem help them defeat the Plishtim and conquer Eretz Yisrael. And you know, the entire journey will be over in a few days. They'll make it from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, and everybody will live happily ever after. But apparently that's not what Hashem wanted. So try to understand why that is. So what happened? Vayasev Elokim Esa'am Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf, and Hashem made them go in a sivuv, in a circle, towards the desert of the Yamsuf. Vachamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, and the Bnei Yisrael, when they left, they came fully armed out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Aikach Moshe Esat Mogam Fipsukim, which we're not going to spend, not going to focus too much on, but bring us to something else I want to look at. Moshe took the bones of Yosef along with him, because Yosef had made the Jewish people swear that when God will remember you and he'll redeem you, and you will take out my bones together with you and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. By Yisumi Sukkos, and they traveled from Sukkos by Yachanu Ve'Esam, and they encamped at Esam, the Ktzei Hamidbar, at the edge of the desert. Hashem Holech Tifnehem Yomam, and God was going in front of them by day, Ba'amud Anan on Chosam Aderech, with a cloud in order to show them the way, V'Laila Ba'amud Eishla Yelohem, with a pillar of fire at night in order to give light. And it's allowed for them, again, they just escaped from Egypt, they really needed to move, it's allowed for them to travel both by day and by night. They were not left without one or the other. As soon as the cloud would be ready to leave, the pillar of fire would come, they would always have something. Fine. Now comes some much more difficult psukim. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Limor. Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael, v'yashuvu, and you should turn back, v'yachanu, and you should encamp lifnei piachiros, in front of piachiros, the place, bein migdol uvein hayam, between migdol, another name of a place, uvein hayam, and between the sea, lifnei ba'al tzafon, in front of ba'al tzafon, which seems to be the name of, or some sort of an idol, Nichachos Sachanu Al Hayam, opposite or by the sea. So why are they going backwards? They're supposed to be going forwards. They're on the travel to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they're taking the long route. But as they're escaping, for God to suddenly tell Moshe, okay, you know what? Why don't we go backwards now? So it seems a little bit strange. What's the point in going backwards? Okay, so let's see. The Amar Paro Livnei Yisrael, and Paro is going to say to Bnei Yisrael, and that's a little difficult. Again, this is Hashem talking to Moshe. He's telling Moshe that Paro is going to say to Bnei Yisrael. It's a little bit difficult to believe that he really means to Bnei Yisrael. How's he going to be speaking to Bnei Yisrael? So the Mefarshim explained that it means about Bnei Yisrael. So Paro is going to say about the Jewish people, Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz. They are imprisoned. They're trapped. They're lost. Sagar aleihem haMidbar, and the Midbar, the desert, has closed around them. So what exactly? How exactly are they? Was the desert closed around them? What does this mean? And more, as we'll see in the next pasuk. The Chizakti Aslav Paro. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to harden Paro's heart. Why was this necessary? And then V'radaf Acharem is going to run after them. V'kavdo b'faro v'chol chelo. V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem v'yasu chen. And I'm going to harden Paro's heart. They're going to all run after you, and all Mitzrayim is going to see that I am Hashem. And now, everything that God just told Moshe is going to happen seems to actually happen. V'yugad l'malach Mitzrayim. Ki varacha'am, and it was told to the king of Egypt that the people ran away. So first of all, who told them? How do you know? Who was there available to be telling them? They saw it out in the Midbar. They're already 2 or 3 days removed from Mitzrayim. So how exactly does Paro find out that they ran away? And what do you mean they ran away? Paro let them go. Paro said, take your people out of Mitzrayim. I don't want to die anymore. I don't want the firstborns to die anymore. I'm sick and tired of all these makos that God is bringing. Take the people out. So why now does he say, Kivaracham? You know, suddenly he woke up. You know, where did all those people go? You know, Paro knew where they went. Paro was the one who sent them out. So what does it mean that he was told that the people ran away? You know, who told him about what? What exactly does the pasuk mean? And then after he hears this, suddenly their hearts are turned against the people, and the parts of the Paro and his slaves are turned against Bnei Yisrael. He says, well, what do we do? I don't understand what happened here. That we sent Bnei Yisrael out of slavery. And he saddled up he prepared his chariot, and he took the people with him. And he took all these, again, many, many chariots, 600, vine, the top, the greatest army he had. And God hardened his heart as he said he would. And he ran after Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael left with an outstretched hand. Again, so many strange things in these. They seem to be minor, but as we'll see, I think they lead to a much more difficult question that we need to look at. So again, we started out with trying to understand at the beginning, why didn't Hashem bring them straight into Eretz Yisrael? It seems to be that would have been the simplest thing to do. He took them out of Egypt. Pharaoh finally gave in. He let them go. Just take them straight from Egypt to Israel, and the story will be over. So there are several explanations that the Mefarshim offer. The Daz Kanan from the Bali Atosvo says that as soon as the people who were living in Eretz Canaan heard that Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, and they knew all along that God's goal, when he wants to take them out of Egypt, eventually to get them to Eretz Yisrael, they immediately destroyed the land. They took anything that they had done in Eretz Yisrael, anything positive, and they completely destroyed everything, so that when they would be conquered, at least Bnei Yisrael would think that it's some sort of a lousy land and there's nothing there. They would have to start from scratch, and maybe they would be discouraged and they would have no interest in the land. So they destroyed everything. Everything in Eretz Canaan was destroyed. So So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said, Olech es Yisrael b'midbar. Know what? Let's leave B'nai Yisrael in the midbar for a while. Kedei liten shehus laknanim l'sakin mashikilkalo. And this will give opportunity. They're not going to be able to live in ruins. These people are living in Canaan right now. They don't know exactly when B'nai Yisrael are coming. So they will start bringing Eretz Yisrael back to the way it should be. So in order to allow for that to happen, Hashem had to sort of put B'nai Yisrael in the holding pattern so that when they would get to Eretz Yisrael, it would once again be an appropriate land. The Kli Yakar says something much more fundamental that really relates to the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, is that when B'nai Yisrael left, we know that they were, it was a spiritual emergency to get them out of Egypt. They had sunken very, very low in the Memtesh Shari Tumah, 49 level depths of Tumah, and they were so low that Hashem had to quickly get them out of Mitzrayim. But they weren't yet on a level to be able to appreciate what a life in Eretz Yisrael is all about. And that was the purpose of the time in the Midbar. The purpose of the time in the Midbar was really to create and entrench and enroot in Klal Yisrael, in the Jewish people, all of the Emunah and everything, the spiritual nature that they would need in order to live a life in Eretz Yisrael. So they needed to be removed from the slavery because there was no way that they could develop spiritually with the hardships of Egypt in the land of Egypt. So they needed to, but they weren't ready yet to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the only option was to put them with their own existence in the Midbar. During the time in the Midbar, the goal really was, and that's what we see is going to happen shortly. First is Matan Torah, and then they're supposed to spend the time, they have the Mishkan, and they spend the time trying to create, again, there are pitfalls along the way and mistakes that they make, but the goal of the period of the Midbar was to make sure that B'nai Yisrael would be prepared for a life, a spiritual life in Eretz Yisrael. And Sforno says something, and this is going to be, as we'll see, a little bit of a theme that's going to keep coming up, which we're going to have to figure out. Sforno says the reason was that he didn't take them straight into Eretz Yisrael. Ki kavanas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what God's intention was, L'holichom l'yamsuf, to bring them to the Yamsuf, al menas l'hatbia bo'es ha-mitzrim. The purpose was, and not bring them straight to Eretz Yisrael, was because he wanted Paro and the Egyptians to chase after B'nai Yisrael, and he wanted to drown them in the Yamsuf. That was part of the goal. Apparently, whatever had been accomplished in Eretz Mitzrayim in terms of punishing the Egyptians wasn't finished. But all the wrongs that they had done, even the 10 Makos wasn't enough to rid them and to complete that punishment. So part of the goal of having them in the Midbar was so that, again, for B'nai Yisrael, it sounds, according to this explanation, for B'nai Yisrael, they would have been ready to go into Eretz Yisrael immediately. But there was another step that was still necessary in the process of the redemption, which was to have the Egyptians drown at the Yam Suf. I'm going to have to look at that more a little bit later. Then the Torah said that Ki Karovu, because it was close, therefore he didn't take them that way. It sounds a little bit strange. Again, it sounds like you have to interpret the key as although, which isn't the normal interpretation. So that's what Rashi basically says. Even though it's not the normal way we explain the word, that's really what it means, that since it was close and Hashem was worried that they would see war from the Plishtim and they would have to be involved in battle again, they would maybe get nervous and they would head right back to Egypt. So we had to take them in a more circuitous way in order to make sure that they would not have as easy a time coming back to Mitzrayim. The Dazakeni Valatoso just says something very interesting. It doesn't really relate to the main point that we have, but what is Ki Karovu, because it's close? He says it doesn't mean because the land of Plishtim was close. He says, Kevan She'am Yisrael Hu Krovo Shah Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's explaining that since Ki Karovu means because God is close to the Jewish people. And since God is close to the Jewish people, he didn't want them to go and have to fight against the Plishtim in the normal way. He wanted to have this special time to spend with them in the Midbar. So he didn't bring them the path of Eretz Plishtim, Ki Karovu, because not because the path was closest, because that wouldn't be. That should have been although. What is the because? The because is because God is close to Bnei Yisrael and wanted this special time with Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem takes him this circuitous way, and then again the psukim that really had caused more of the trouble were the ones on top of page 368, which is this conversation that Hashem has with Moshe. Right, that Berel Bnei Yisrael v'yashuvu, you should go back. Why are they? Why is he telling Hashem telling Moshe that they should go back at this time? So many of the Mefarshim are bothered by the question. Again, if they're running away, they should continue in that direction. Why are they returning back? So, Rabbeinu Bachya says that the reason that they were turning back was because he wanted that Paro should think that they're coming back to Mitzrayim. It was a deception that they had been running away. And now, somehow, we still don't know how Paro is going to hear, but somehow Paro hears. We'll have to figure out soon how Paro is going to hear. But Hashem says, okay, you're running away. Now I want you to start going back to Eretz Yisrael in order to trick Paro into thinking that you're going to return to Mitzrayim. Sounds a little bit strange. What exactly is, what's the purpose of this, deceit? So the Ibn Ezra says slightly differently that he wanted Paro to run after them and then he could end up drowning them in the sea, similar to the explanation that we said at the beginning, that the reason that he left them in the Midbar was because he wanted Paro to chase after them. So here also, maybe this works together with what Rabbeinu Bachya says, is that when Paro sees that they are coming, back to Mitzrayim, so maybe... Actually, it doesn't work so well with that. I'm sure it works better with something else. Let's leave those separate. But again, at least the purpose of returning back is to get Paro's attention, and then maybe he'll pursue Bnei Yisrael. He sees that they're closer, he'll come after them. The Chizkuni says something which really hits at that fundamental issue. He says, Kevan shelo rasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyachziku ha-mitzrim es Yisrael ba-doim. He didn't want that the Egyptians should think that Bnei Yisrael are a bunch of liars and a bunch of tricksters. Why? What did they ask for? When Moshe came to Paro, he asked for a 3-day holiday. You should go with everybody, with all the animals, all the people, and celebrate to Hashem for 3 days. So now, the Mefarshim say this is the 3rd day of their trip. If they don't start heading back, or if they don't return, so then they're going to think that they're a bunch of tricksters, a bunch of liars, because they said they were going for 3 days. And that's why Hashem had them going back. But it really only strengthens the question, because they didn't go back, right? They, you know, sort of pivoted a little bit towards Mitzrayim, and, you know, and then continued the other direction.
And so, why would they even care? What the Egyptians think at this point.
So I don't know if Bnei Yisrael would care, but apparently God cares. He doesn't want the world to think that his people are a bunch of deceivers. The problem is that they still seem to be a bunch of deceivers. I mean, it didn't remove that problem. And that's really, again, the question that we're going to have to try and understand. But I just want to get through some of the technical, smaller questions before we deal with the larger issue. But that's how we understand this, is that there was this important issue was going on that that he didn't want Paro, that there was this 3-day journey, that was what the expectation was, and he didn't want Paro to think that suddenly they were escaping. So then the Torah says that, right, Gamar Paro of Bnei Yisrael, Paro is going to say about Bnei Yisrael, Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz, Sagar Olam Avimbar. What is Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz? So Rashi says Nevuchim means kluim, that they were trapped. That Paro would suddenly think he has an opportunity to turn after them because they're trapped in the desert. They don't know where they're going. If they knew where they were going, they would only go forward. If they're running, they're trying to leave Egypt. The fact that they're suddenly returning back obviously indicates that they have no sense of direction. They're completely lost. And if they're a lost people, then Paro is going to say, I have a chance again. I can try to get them back, because they don't know how to escape. They don't know which direction to go, and maybe they'll even end up at the Yamsuf. They'll end up somewhere where they have nowhere to escape. So Paro is going to say, Nebuchadnezzar Baretz, they're trapped. Sagar Olam Amidbar, the desert has engulfed them, has closed around them, and now they have nowhere to go. And the Ibn Ezra says similarly, when people run away, they don't always know the directions they're going. They didn't have the map before, and they didn't do the Google Maps and see exactly what the best route around the Yam Suf was. So they didn't know where they're going to go. So who knows where they're going to end up. And Sagar Alayam Amidbar, they can't go anywhere. Then he will be able to come after them. B'chizakti Eslev Paro. Why was it necessary to harden Paro's heart? After we've seen all of this, so it seems Paro has good reason on his own to run after them. So what Ramban explains that the Chizakti slave Paro is that he needed to help Paro a little bit forget about the Makos. If he remembered fully about all the Makos, then even with everything else that Paro had going for him now, thinking that Bnei Yisrael are trapped, maybe he still wouldn't go after them. So he needed to help him forget a little bit about the Makos, and by forgetting a little bit of what happened, then Paro can make his decision whether he wants to pursue Bnei Yisrael or not. And then what actually happened, that's Pasuk Hey. Vayugad l'melech Mitzrayim, was told to the king of Mitzrayim. So who told him? They're at least 2 days away. Even if they turned around, they certainly didn't come all the way back to Egypt. So who told him? So Rashi says that Paro sent messengers along with Bnei Yisrael. I don't even know how to see, when you have, over a million people. I don't know how undercover even needed to be. When you have a million people leaving Mitzrayim, I'm not sure everybody knew who everybody was. So, 600,000 was just the men above 20. But the women and the children, you had way over a million people, maybe much more than that. So you had so many people traveling in the desert, so Paro sent a few messengers along to sort of scout out what's going on and to return back to Paro. So as soon as they saw that the Bnei Yisrael had turned back towards Egypt, so that's when they ran back to Paro to tell Paro, they're not going straight anymore. And then Paro could interpret the fact that they got stuck however he wants. He can say, well, they don't know where they're going. Or whatever other explanation he wants to give. Or maybe their vacation, the 3-day vacation is over, and now they're coming back. Paro has those options. But the ones who were reporting it back by Yigad l'melech Mitzrayim are these messengers he had sent along. Yeah, Bar Benel says that it's the good old Erev Rav, those nudniks who left Mitzrayim and came along with Bnei Yisrael, who were causing trouble throughout the time in the desert. So some of them saw that Bnei Yisrael was starting to turn back, and they ran back, and they figured, if they're going back, and Paro might catch up. So now, since they were the ones who were trying to see who's in the best situation, and they were going to stick with them, so as long as Bnei Yisrael were escaping, so they wanted to be with Bnei Yisrael. Once it seems like there's going to be a good chance for Paro to come after them, so they realized maybe we should hang out with Paro. So they ran back themselves, and they were the ones who told Paro to try and again find favor in the eyes of Paro. Rabbi Nubachi says something very interesting. He says that it was revealed to Paro, whoever told him, the nevuah that Hashem had told Avram at the Bris Ben Avsarim, that they're supposed to be in Golus for 400 years. But Bnei Yisrael are supposed to be slaves for 400 years, and it's only been 210 years. And then Kivarach Olam, they ran away. They left too early. They're not supposed to leave yet. They're supposed to come back. They're supposed to come back for more. And the gematria of Barach is 210. Like Kivarach Olam, they left early, they left after 210 years, and they didn't wait for the full 400, and then that again, that would give Paro a little bit more ammo to think that they're going to come back. And the Ramban says that when he heard that they were coming back, he realized that they ran away. Says that when they were started, turning back a little bit, and he hadn't heard, maybe his messengers hadn't, nobody had said anything about the fact that they had this big party, then he realized, Tivaracham, he realized that they ran away. And that was the major change that took place with Paro. And that already tries to explain a little bit why it's kivaracha'am, that they ran away. What does it mean that they ran away? Paro had sent them away. So, again, according to that explanation of the Ramban, so then we can understand that when he saw that they weren't going to just do the 3-day thing, because they didn't have any big celebration, there were no korbanos that were brought, he hadn't heard about any of this, he realized that there was something else going on here. And that's what Rashi and many others say as well, that the kivaracha'am wasn't that initially we had sent them, it wasn't that Paro forgot that initially he had sent them, he knew he had sent Bnei Yisrael out, but what he now realized is that they're not going to come back. And that was a major change for Paro, and that was really by Yafeches of Paro, that's what turned Paro's heart. When he realized that they weren't coming back, you know, when he let them go, it was just for, in his mind, it was just for 3 days. He thought he was getting them back. Now that it wasn't, so then he runs after them. And that really, I think, is the biggest question which emerges from this whole story. Right? Which is that if Bnei Israel were only supposed to go for 3 days, so what happened? Meaning, Moshe comes to Paro and says, "Let us go for 3 days, celebrate and offer karbanos, a special holiday for Hashem." And that's what Paro thinks. So why did God have to trick him? If the entire plan all along was to take Bnei Yisrael out, and that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't be slaves in Mitzrayim anymore, and they should be a free people, and they should go to Eretz Yisrael, and they should get the Torah, and everything else that's going to happen. So why was it done in such a deceitful way? It seems very, very strange. And that really, it seems to be all the answers to a lot of these detailed questions in terms of this parsha really come back to the fact that there was this whole change in Paro's mindset now. That now that he's realizing that they ran away and they're not coming back, so now Paro is going to run after them, and apparently maybe that's what Hashem wants. But why did it have to be done? Why did it have to be done in such a way? And some of the Rishonim, they asked this question in very, very strong terms. The way the Abarbanel asks the question, he says, Eich tziva yisbarach leMoshe, how did Hashem command to Moshe sheyomar b'shmo that he should say in his name davar chaza v'sheker? It's outright trickery and lies. How could God command Moshe to lie to Paro? And he says it would have been better. If you want to show the greatness of Hashem, what would show the greatness of Hashem more? To ask to go for 3 days and then we're going to come back? That's what, and we have to basically run away. That's what regular slaves do. Regular slaves have to try and find a way to run away. If you want to show that God is different, God is almighty, so you go and tell Paro, you know what, we want to leave forever. And then Paro's going to look at you like, you're crazy, fine. And then Hashem brings the Makos and shows, I can take my people out forever. But why go under this entire illusion of tricking Paro into thinking that it's only for 3 days? If you want to really show him the greatness of Hashem, so just come straight out and say it, besides the fact that it seems to be deceitful. But it seems to also minimize the power of Hashem. If you want to show the maximum power, so say, you know what, Paro, you think you're in charge, you're not. And Hashem's going to come and he's going to take Bnei Yisrael out of here. So that's the problem. That's the real problem here. So there are many different explanations that are offered. I think I managed to put together 6 different answers to try and understand this basic question. And it really relates to any of these parshios. Really, already in Parshas Shmos, it starts with just going for 3 days. So what exactly is this all about? So there's one school of thought that doesn't like the fact that God is going to be deceitful and works along that route to figure out it can't be that God would tell Moshe to say something that isn't true. So how do you answer the question? So the Ksav HaKabbal says this, the Abarbanel and the others, they say, well, Moshe said we want to go for 3 days to worship God. Moshe never said, and afterwards, we're going to come back. He didn't say what we're going to do afterwards. So Paro assumed that if they're going for 3 days for a big holiday, so then they're going to return back afterwards, back to their wonderful life of being slaves to me in Egypt. Moshe has something else completely in mind. He said, we're going to go, we're going to celebrate for 3 days, and then we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to live a free life all by ourselves. So again, Paro made a certain inference from what Moshe had asked, but who says that was really true? So it technically answers the question, but it's not particularly satisfying. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh already says it. He says, but it wasn't that Paro had no reason to make such an inference. You know, it's basically what we would consider to be a white lie. It wasn't technically a lie, but it wasn't really the truth either. And the fact, there was a deception involved. It doesn't answer why the deception, what the purpose of the deception was. It tells us, okay, so God, we don't like the fact that God might not have said something which is 100% accurate, so I'll tell you why it's 100% accurate. But it doesn't really address what was gained by doing this, since there still was an element of deceit in it. So again, that's what the answer, but again, that's the problem which still exists. You know, if anybody, we asked somebody, or somebody told us something, and they answered in such a way, I don't think we'd be particularly happy. So that's again one answer, but not very sad.
Nope. Boy's answer. I give you a little bit of a
There's a Yiddish expression, a living torment is zogen. You know, I'll say a lot, but the guy saying this, you don't have to say.
Right, exactly. So there is something too. Again, we spoke about this a little bit with Yaakov Avinu, a month or two ago, or no more than that. Whenever we were up to the Yaakov tricking his father, so there we said, as much as it's not satisfying that you know he says Anochi, I am and Esav Bechorecha, and Esav is your Bechor. So what we did point out was that in a situation where deceit is necessary and warranted, it is to his credit that he didn't want to say something which was an outright lie. But here we still don't fully understand, well, why was the deceit necessary? So one thing maybe just to keep in the back of our minds that some of the Mepharshim point out is that we are dealing with a similar to a war kind of situation. Meaning, is lying or being deceitful in order to achieve the goal of getting Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim any worse than killing all the firstborns in Egypt? You know, if you have to weigh on the morality level, you know, obviously, if you're dealing in a time of war and deceit is necessary in order to knock out the enemy, so I don't know. I don't think deceit is any worse than killing the enemy.
Why is it necessary?
So that's the only problem. This answer doesn't explain why it's necessary.
And if Hashem's the one that told Moshe to say that, it doesn't make sense either.
So. Right. Again, but if in the end, the only reason I'm mentioning this is because if in the end we can find a solution that's not 100% satisfying, but at least explains to us why the deceit would be necessary, then saying that having this additional answer in our arsenal, that it technically wasn't even a lie, makes it a little bit better, because, again, once the deceit is warranted, and we're dealing with the time of, we'll call it war, but we're dealing with the time of trying to get Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, so that if it's warranted, the fact that it was only a white lie might be significant, and that it wasn't an outright lie. But again, we still haven't explained why it should be necessary. If anything, as the Ran and then the others and the Barbanel seem to say, it would have shown more might of God to just say, I'm taking them out completely. So we were correct. We didn't answer that that yet. So the Barbanel offers another answer, and others say this as well, is that the purpose was, I think the Balakeda says this, and the Kedah Sitzchak, was to show how obstinate Paro was. And that Paro was such an action, he was so stubborn and so unwilling to listen to the word of God, that he wasn't even willing to let Bnei Israel go for a 3-day vacation to worship God in the Midbar. If it would have been that Moshe comes to Paro and tells Paro, let my people go completely and they're never coming back again. And Paro says, no. So then the nations of the world see what's going on. And you know what? No, Paro wasn't such a bad guy. We don't understand why God was so harsh with Paro. Well, he didn't want to let them go. This was the entire economy. This was what was driving everything. They had these slaves. So it would be much more understandable that Paro wouldn't be willing to do that. So God gives Paro an option that Paro should be able to deal with. Let them go for 3 days. Let them worship their God for 3 days, and they'll come back afterwards. And that was the option. That was the option that Paro was given. Once, what's wrong?
I said, why would Paro even believe?
Why would he believe it? Because the word of God is true. Or maybe, but let Paro respond to that. Let Paro say, you know, the reason I'm not letting you go for 3 days is I don't think you're really going to come back. Maybe that's why he didn't want to let the whole nation go. Maybe that's part of what was going on. But that's what this approach wants to suggest. Now, two things come out very interesting according to this. If that's true, so then it's possible to suggest that once Paro basically said no at the beginning and went through all the makos, so maybe that option had been removed from the table. So in Paro's mind, he thought that they were going to be coming back after 3 days, but who says? That was before Paro refused. Once Paro, you know, God basically said to him, I'm giving you option A. Option A isn't so bad. But if you refuse option A, so who says that after I punish you and after I have to, you know, go through and the burden of doing all these makos and everything else that's going on, who says that option still exists? I don't know. It doesn't have to be true that Paro, that Hashem was bringing all the makos just for the purpose of getting Paro to agree to the 3-day vacation. Once he said no to that, that option was taken off the table. And then when Moshe says, we're taking everybody, maybe Paro in his mind thinks that it's still the 3 days, but Moshe didn't say that again. Moshe said, we're taking everybody to the Midbar to celebrate to God. And he didn't say anything about the 3 days. The 3 days was all before this was going to happen. Now, what's really interesting, according to this, is the what if. You know, is thinking of the what if Paro had accepted. What would have happened? It's hard to, you know, speculate too much. It didn't happen. But if Paro, if really this was a legitimate option, and Paro only lost the option because he said no, so what would have happened if Paro said yes? I don't know. Would they have gone out for 3 days and come back? Sounds like it. And maybe at a later time, again, obviously God was planning on taking the Jews out of Egypt. He promised Avraham Avinu that was going to happen. But maybe this wouldn't have been the time. Maybe they would have gone, and maybe that would have, I don't know, maybe that would have instilled a certain yearning on the part of Bnei Yisrael to get out of there. Maybe they would have revolted. It's hard to know what would have happened, but you can actually sort of begin to entertain that what if. Only according to this option, because this option suggests that it really was something that was offered to Paro, just though, and he said no, it was taken off of the table. But Rabbi Nabache says a completely different approach. He said the entire three-day option wasn't offered, had nothing to do with giving Paro something that Paro would be willing to swallow or would be easier for him to accept. The purpose of the 3 days was for Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael, being in their slave mentality, having been slaves for so long, they weren't necessarily able to even entertain the possibility of God coming and saying, I'm taking you out forever, your entire life is changing. And that kind of change would have been too much for Bnei Yisrael. So the reason, and again, according to this, it may have been deceitful, but with a purpose now. The purpose of saying that I'm taking him out for 3 days was because he needed that Bnei Yisrael to be able to accept the fact that they're going to have this change. And to say that there's going to be this abrupt change, and they're going to go from slaves, having been slaves for 209 years, not 210, before the Makos take place, but they've been slaves for over 200 years, and now they're going to be free people worshiping Hashem. I know, that was just too much for Bnei Yisrael to handle. So he started out with a small step. He just told Bnei Yisrael, you know what, it's going to be for 3 days. Afterwards, once they're in the Midbar and they see what it's like to worship Hashem and they see what the freedom is like, so on their own they're going to be happy accepting the rest. So according to this, it sounds like it never really was an option for only 3 days and then returning. But we can at least understand why it was said in such a way, because if the reports would have got back that Bnei Yisrael are trying to leave forever, Bnei Yisrael would have said, no, we're not going anywhere. We're not ready to handle this. We need to go step by step, you know, baby steps before we start to run. We weren't ready to handle much more than that. The Ibn Ezra says that we really can't figure it out. He says this question already is trying to understand too deeply the ways of God, and God has his ways of doing things. They're beyond us, and he doesn't even try to explain. And as much as that's not a very satisfying answer, I think that's also something which is important to keep in mind, that even if we're not fully satisfied with any of these answers that we're suggesting, remembering the fact that, you know, we're trying to sort of, take a peek into the workings of God, they don't have to be logical in the way we think that they're logical, because God is above and beyond logic. So as much as we can understand it, so I think we're entitled to try and understand it. But if we keep in mind what the Ibn Ezra says, then I think even if we're not fully satisfied with some of the suggestions that we're making, it at least will make them a little bit more palpable.
The wilderness was in Egypt.
Well, the wilderness was right outside of Egypt. The desert and the wilderness are synonymous. The Ron suggests, and this answer was really what brought me to the question in the first place, because what the Ron suggests really touches on some of the answers that to some of the earlier questions that we had. What the Ron says is that the reason for suggesting that it was only 3 days is because God needed Paro to be drowned in the Yamsuf. He needed that the culmination of the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim was going to be this amazing sight of Kriyas Yamsuf, of Bnei Yisrael. That was, this is part of the divine plan, that the inspiration, not just for Bnei Yisrael, but that the other nations in the world should see the greatness of Hashem, wasn't just what was going to take place in Egypt, but it needed a certain finality that would only take place at Kriyas Yamsuf. And therefore, it needed to be done in such a way that would draw the Egyptians out of Mitzrayim to chase after Bnei Yisrael. And all the details that happened in this week's Parsha, plus the fact that they thought that they were leaving for only, that they were only going to be going for 3 days, is part of this plan. The Yeshuvu, the fact that they turned around and they started going towards Mitzrayim, was a way of drawing Paro out of Mitzrayim to chase after them. The fact that it was by Yugadam of Mitzrayim Kivarachalam that they ran away. Why? Because he thought they were only going for 3 days, and now he sees that they're not returning to Mitzrayim. All of these things were part of the overall plan, which was that Paro needed to chase after Bnei Yisrael. It also helps explain another difficulty in last week's Parsha, which is the stress that Hashem puts on Bnei Yisrael getting the gold and the silver, all the riches from the Egyptians. Who cares? They're going. They just want to leave. They're happy taking their dough, which is going to turn into matzah, and then that's it. They'll figure out how to get money later. And yet Hashem stresses again and again. So Rashi tells us that he made a promise to Avraham Avinu, and that they're going to leave very wealthy, which is all fine and good. But the fact that Hashem stresses it so much just seems to be, almost anticlimactic, that they're going through this, spiritual, high, and they have to worry about this materialistic goal of getting the Kesef and the Zahav. If you understand the Ran, and what the Ran suggests, is that was also part of giving the Egyptians another reason to run after Bnei Yisrael. It wasn't just that they lost their slaves, but their slaves ran away with all their money. So now they had nothing left in Mitzrayim. They really had no reason to remain, and they had every reason in the world to chase after Bnei Yisrael. So all of these elements were part of this overall plan that God wanted, that the end of the process of leaving Egypt should be with Kriyas Yamsuf, and therefore all of these things, the 3 days, and the taking of the riches, and the fact that he pivoted the whole nation a little bit back towards Mitzrayim, and it made them... And he found out, and he helped harden his heart a little bit. All of these things together, the entire purpose was that Paro should then, with the Egyptians, run after Bnei Yisrael, and in the end, they will drown in the Yamsuf. I saw one last explanation, which really builds off very nicely after what we talked about 2 weeks ago with in Parshas Va'era. And this was, I saw, again, from Rav Levin, the Mashgiach in Kamri Yav, and I suggest this almost in one paragraph, but I think there's a lot to it. What we ask then, which is really a related question, and comes up again in this parasha, is why is Paro punished for acting in a way that Hashem forced him to act? If Hashem forced him, he hardened his heart, and Paro didn't have the free choice, then there's no reason that Paro should be punished. And similarly, if Paro really thinks that they're only going for 3 days, and now they're going to be going for such a long time, and Paro was deceived in the whole thing, so why was a deception necessary? Again, it seems to be taking some of the free will out of Paro and making it into stacking the deck against Paro. So we offered numerous explanations last time. The one which I think works for here also is the one that was, I think, the more novel one, which was that of the Sforno. And what the Sforno had suggested was that the reason that Hashem had to harden Paro's heart was not to take away the option of tshuva, but rather to give him the option of tshuva. That had Hashem not hardened Paro's heart, then because the makos were so difficult, so painful, he would have let Bnei Yisrael go. But that wouldn't have given him the opportunity to do tshuva, because he was basically forced into it because of the pain of the makkah, because of the affliction that God was bringing against him. So he didn't have any... It wasn't that he realized God is greater than me, and therefore I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm doing tshuva, I have to let Bnei Yisrael go. It was just the fact that he was in pain. So because he was in pain, which God had inflicted on him, that's why he would let them go. So in order to give him the opportunity to do tshuva, Hashem had to sort of level the playing field. He had to make it that the countering factor to the fact that he was in pain would be him wanting to keep Bnei Yisrael there. And now, if the two sides are equal, so then Paro now has a choice. He can decide between the pain, which is indicative of the Yad Hashem, and I want to let them go, or he can say, you know what, I'm really not interested, because I think this whole God thing is just made up, it's not for me, and he can decide if he wants to do tshuva or not. So the reason that Hashem hardens Paro's heart, and it's throughout, it's going to be true in our parsha also when he hardens his heart, is in order to give Paro the choice. And that was the idea that we had mentioned from Rav Dessler about there being, every person has a certain point at which they have Bechira. So it's not a challenge not to get into, we don't have a Yetzirah telling us to drive a car on Shabbos. Because we're so beyond that, it's ingrained in us, so that doesn't require Bechira anymore. We've sort of, you know, put that behind us. And on the other hand, you have certain things that are still beyond us, that we strive to reach towards, but you know, never speaking a word of Lashon Hara is something which is, it's beyond us. We want to try and reach as close to it as we can, but it's not something which is really necessarily in our hands right now. There's a certain point where we, faced with a challenge, we feel two different forces tugging at us, and we feel ourselves needing to make that decision, and that's really where the battle is. Yeah, I think Rav Dessler even compares it to when you have a battle in a war. So you have all the people in the back, but the only real fighting is at the battlefront where the two armies are meeting. The people behind are important, and those are, you know, decisions that we've made that have brought us here in the planning, but the battle only takes place at the, you know, where there's actually two forces fighting against each other. So perhaps the same idea is true here as well. If Hashem had told Paro that he wanted to take Bnei Yisrael out, and he wanted to take them out permanently, not just for 3 days, there's no way Paro could have said yes to that. And that would have defeated Paro's Bechira, because it would have been so difficult. How could he undo everything that he possibly, that everything that he had created, an entire society, based on having Bnei Yisrael as slaves? So now to come and expect Paro to be willing to let them go, even with the Makos, would have been beyond a point of Paro having any Bechira. And he wouldn't have been able to be punished for that, because There's no way he could have made such a decision to actually let Bnei Yisrael go completely. So therefore Hashem gave him the opportunity, said, you know what, I'll give you something that you can handle. I'm going to give you 3 days. And you see what you can do with it deciding about whether you should let Bnei Yisrael go for 3 days or not. So again, really, it speaks back to this. You know, this is a major challenge in Paro's life, is that what Paro is struggling with is a decision that he has to make. And therefore, Hashem gives him the option. Now, whether it was a real option, not a real option, I have no idea. But the point is that once Paro decided not, that's Paro's problem. It was Paro's decision. It was a decision that he was capable of making. And therefore, he gets punished for not allowing Bnei Yisrael to go even for those 3 days. So again, it really, I think, just puts the various aspects of the story back together. So again, as challenging as it is that this deceit of the 3 days, if it's a deceit with a purpose, either because Bnei Yisrael couldn't handle it, or because he needed to draw them to the Yom Suf in order to bring finality to what was taking place at Kriyas Yom Suf, or for this reason, just simply to give Paro the Bechira, that Paro could have said yes, and then somehow maybe the story would have unfolded differently, but Paro didn't, but it gives Paro the chance that he had, and ultimately he made the wrong decision, and that's what this Parsha really is about. This Parsha is about showing in the end that as much as Paro had all these opportunities, in the end, he was drawn after his heart by Yafayach Levav Paro. He turned his heart against Bnei Yisrael, and he really sealed his fate as being the one who was going to be drowned in the Yom Suf and deserved all the punishment that he got.
Thank you.